Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart-Centered Loving. I'm your host, Jim Brown. And as always, you are safe and no harm will come to you in this space. My goal is always to bring more love, more happiness, more joy, compassion, peace, and abundance into your life. And I ask you to listen to this show with the goal of taking one thing out of it and implementing it into your daily life. Today's show is on self-love. And the opening quote is, "Everything worth having costs something, and the price of true love is self-knowledge." So we got to learn about ourselves and who we are, and we'll talk about that later. And the opening joke, if you will, is called Saying the Right Thing. And after a Saturday night party, a husband returned home late at night, heavily drunk. The next day, he woke up late with a hangover. He could hardly remember how he reached home, and was scared that his wife would be angry with him. But to his utter amazement, he found a couple of aspirin and a glass of water beside his bed. He took the aspirin, and when feeling a little bit better, he looked around. He found that his wife had laid down a fresh set of clothes for him to wear when he woke up. Next, he found the bedroom and the rest of the house was perfectly clean and in order. Now he's completely bewildered. He was expecting his wife to be angry with him after the previous night. He discovered a loving note from his wife which said, "Darling, I'm sorry I had to leave early this morning because I had to go to grocery shopping. I'll cook your favorite dinner tonight. You'll find your breakfast awaiting you in the kitchen." Now he really started to feel weird and guilty. In the kitchen, he found his son having breakfast. And he said, "Johnny, what happened last night? I was expecting your mother to be angry with me." His son said, "Dad, you came home really late last night. Then you threw up on the rug. It was a mess. You gave yourself a black eye by colliding with the door. Then when Mommy tried to undress you, you shouted, 'Leave me alone, lady, I'm married.'" Moral of the story is saying the right thing, even when you're drunk, can save you big time troubles. So, let's get started. Last week we started in with the keys to a happy life, and I started with accepting yourself. And then we go to today, which is loving yourself. And I think we have to accept ourselves before we can love ourselves. And I probably could have combined the two, but I wanted to give you enough time to think about accepting yourself, because we're not taught to accept ourselves. We're taught to take a performance evaluation at work as an example. Somebody will say to you, "Okay, Jim, you know, blah, 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 but you did this wrong and this wrong and this wrong." Instead of highlighting all the things that you did right, and really letting go of the stuff that you didn't do right, because we're human beings. And that's the whole point that we're going to get into today. So I happen to think that loving ourselves just the way we are, for almost all of us, is the hardest thing we're ever going to do. Why? Because we're not taught to do that. We're not taught to love ourselves just the way we are. We're supposed to be smarter. We're supposed to be better looking. We're supposed to have more money. We're supposed to, you know, and that's supposed to goes on and on and on until we can never really do or be everything we're supposed to be, quote unquote, then in order to love ourselves. So we're always taught that to love yourself is contingent upon all these criteria being met. And what we're trying to do here now is to let go of all this brainwashing that's been insidiously dumped on us our whole life from the day we got here to today and just say, no, I get to pick who I am. Matter of fact, let me see if I can grab this real quick. The quote, I don't know how many of you know Laura Richard, but she's a PhD and she's a spiritual counselor. And this is the quote she had today from Eckhart Tolle. Accept, then act. Whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you had chosen it. This will miraculously transform your whole life. I emailed her back saying, I agree with this 100%. I believe that we choose everything in our life, and I also believe that we get an infinite number of choices, no matter what's going on in our life. So don't ever say, oh, I'm this, or I can't do this, or I'm no good at this. No, all you got to do is look at it. You get to choose again, over and over. Pardon me, and over again. So, like we were talking about, that we were taught that we had to do stuff for mom and dad to be proud of us, and they'd shower us with their love. And when we were bad, they punished us, and they withheld their love. And those of you who have children that you're raising now, what I would ask you to do is let your children know that when they misbehave, when they do something, there are guidelines, there are boundaries, we're going to talk about that next week, that there are consequences to this behavior. And when you are punishing them, let them know that this is a consequence of the behavior, and that's what a capital A-N-D, I love you. No matter what's going on, what they've done, you have to let them know that they are not their behavior. And you got to get that you are not your behavior. I think I told you this story before about Rachel, who was very angry with her mother because she didn't teach her how to love herself. And Rachel was in her 50s, in her mid-50s. And I said, Rachel, did your mom teach you how to speak Mandarin? She said, well, no. I said, well, aren't you angry at her because she didn't do that? She said, well, no, she didn't know how to speak Mandarin. And I said, that's right. And she didn't know how to love herself. So she couldn't teach you how to love yourself. And for those of you who are struggling with loving yourself, get that, that mom and dad didn't know how to love themselves. I didn't know how to love myself. I didn't teach our sons how to love themselves. Matter of fact, it's probably only been, I'm going to say in the neighborhood of 15 years, that I'm really comfortable in my own skin and being alone. Because I like who I am, just the way I am. Are there things I'd like to be different? Well, yeah. But at the same time, I'm going to live today. I don't know how many of you are baseball fans, but those of you who are, we'll know the name Tony Gwynn. And Tony Gwynn is in the Hall of Fame. He played for the San Diego Padres for 20 years, has had a lifetime batting average of .338, which is the highest of anybody that's played the game since World War II. And he just passed away yesterday at 54. 54. Boom. And it was from, it was from salivary gland cancer, which basically came from him chewing tobacco. But that's not the point. The point is that he was only 54. So we got to look at this and say, look, I got to set my priorities. And the most important thing I have to do is to reject or let go of all the limiting beliefs that were taught to me saying, I'm not good enough, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, and therefore I'm not lovable, and just say, no, I'm lovable just the way I am. Whether I'm, whatever my size is, my weight is, my age, my education, all those things we talked about last week, just let those go. So just to reiterate before I move on, those of you who are raising your children, when you have to punish them, let them know that you also love them. And if you weren't taught by Mom and Dad How to Love Yourself. I don't care if you're in your 80s, you're in your 20s, doesn't make any difference. Your job now is to love yourself just the way you are. Look at yourself in the mirror, and I would suggest, and I've done this before, that you do that without your clothes on. Look into your eyes, look through your eyes, look into your heart, look into your soul, and say, I love you, you're beautiful. And do this until you believe it. Do it every single day for the rest of your life until you believe it. Because we get to see on a daily basis what lack of love, the pain it causes in the world we live in. We don't want to be part of that pain. A lot of people think that wars solve problems and killing each other solve problems. I'm not playing that game. I came here to play the game of life, and I get to play the game of life just the way I want to. And the way I want to play the game is to love myself just the way I am all the time. Can I do that? No. Am I happy with where things are? You bet I am. Am I going to always be striving to be better? Yep. But at the same time, I can accept myself and love myself just the way I am. Because I know that I make a difference in people's lives that I touch. And I used to open my speeches or whatever you want to call them, talks, with, we all make a difference. The issue isn't whether or not we make a difference. The issue is whether that difference is going to be a positive difference or a negative difference. And what we want to do is to be able to impact people's lives. Everybody has problems. Everybody has some sort of pain. Everybody has this sense of separation. So when somebody says something, send them this love. Send them the gift of listening. Listening to understand, not listening to say, well, you know, like I had hernia surgery 2 weeks ago. Well, so-and-so had hernia surgery. I had hernia. This is the way this went and that. No. See all of us as little kids who need to be loved more. And when you had babies and that child was learning how to walk, never once, when that baby fell down, did you say, you're a failure. You'll never learn how to walk. You got them. You were their belief system. You were their support system. You were their love system until they got to believe in themselves. So if you ever have the opportunity of being that for somebody else, loving them until they learn how to love themselves, give them that amazing gift. But first, let's go back into us being ourselves, loving ourselves. So as we grew a little older, our universe expanded beyond just Mom and Dad or whoever raised us, whether it was grandparents or aunts or uncles. And we were, or if you were in a foster home, we went to school, and then we were told that, you know, we had to get good grades, we had to behave ourselves. If we were outspoken or asked a lot of questions, we got in trouble. Obviously, that was me. And I may have mentioned before, I've got 18 years of Catholic education, so in grammar school, I had nuns, and the nuns were always right. So if I got in trouble in school and a note came home with me, then I got more trouble when I got home. It was like, why did you do that? Why did you make the nuns upset? So that brainwashing, that indoctrination, which for me, okay, I'm not saying anything about the Catholic religion. All I'm talking about is me. I was taught that I had to accept everything that the Catholic Church taught me, or I go to hell. So that fear was instilled deep within me, and that fear tactic worked on me for 44 years. And now it's totally gone. There's no anger. There's no resentment. It was like, you know, outgrowing my clothes. Let's remember that we're all social beings. So we're all looking to become part of the tribe. The tribe is the group, and there's a religious group, there's a male group, there's a female group, there's a work group, there's an education group. There's all kinds of tribes that we want to be part of. And I think the classic example of the impact, or the reason that we're social beings, or an example of it, I should say, is that if there's a prisoner on death row and he or she, predominantly he's, does something bad, what do? They put him in solitary confinement, which to me is saying, hey, we'll do anything to get the tribe's acceptance and love. And if we're going too fast or going too slow or off to the left or off to the right, the tribe is going to try and do everything it can to bully us into conforming to their mores before they're going to love us and accept us. And I'm wanting to give you your power back, and I'm wanting to encourage you to be true to yourself and decide who you are without anybody's outside influence. It's your choice. Like I just shared with you from Laura Richard and from Eckhart Tolle's quote, you know, we get to choose. So I'm going to go through a handful of things that were beliefs that were instilled in me when I was a kid, and I'm sure that they're going to be different for you, but there's going to be similarities. And when Sunday I was sitting out in the backyard, obviously it was Father's Day on Sunday here in the United States anyhow, and I heard the lady next door, who's in her late 70s, talking about her tomatoes. And she told her son, oh, Grandma would be proud of me today for the way I take care of my tomatoes. So here she is, a woman in her late 70s, whose mother's been dead for years. They've been her next-door neighbors for 35 years. And she is still seeking approval or to be part of the tribe. Mom would be, or Grandma would be proud of me. So real quick, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through a handful of these, and then we're going to talk about the rest of the time on how to love yourself. The first one I was taught, I don't know if it was in this chronological order, children are to be seen and not heard. Now, I came from a matriarchal home, and that was Mom. And I also remember hearing, little boys don't cry, and you are the oldest. Therefore, it is always my fault because I should know better. And obviously, from either from school and or from home or both, I was taught to do what I was told without ever asking questions. And my dad, the saying I remember him for the most was, do as I say, not as I do. When I was in school and I asked questions, and I was always inquisitive and asked a lot of questions, I get in trouble. So I found these were things that were limiting. And I remember in high school getting 4 A's and a C, and my dad never said anything about my grades, except for this one time. And what do you think he said? Yeah. Why'd you get a C? And you go, holy man, I got 4 A's? He doesn't say, wow, way to coach him, you got 4 A's? He just says, why'd you get a C? Now, is that intentional? Heck no, it's not intentional, because nobody taught us how to be a mom and dad. Nowadays, you can get you take classes on marriage, and that's one of the things I'd love to teach is either people that are going to get married or people that are young and haven't been married for a long time, and how to deal with all the things that you're going to have to deal with in your life as a married couple. And there's a ton of them, but let's move on. How to love yourself. Now, I looked on the internet for a bunch of stuff here, and this is, I didn't take all of this, but this is from an article edited by, listen to this, Arlie, I don't know what, A-R-I-L-L-E, Consoli, Sarah, Lily A., Ben Rubenstein, and 103 others. So I think that it's safe that I can use this. But anyway, if you want to Google it, it's how to love yourself. And loving yourself is mainly having self-respect and self-esteem. Now, I define self-esteem, and I think I heard this from John Wooden, who was a basketball coach at UCLA from like 49 to 75. Self-esteem is the reputation you have with yourself. Okay? So you got to think of yourself as, wow, I'm good. And I had this note to do this a little further along, but it occurs to me it works perfectly right here. How many of you remember who Muhammad Ali was? He was the heavyweight boxing champion of the world. And I'll ask audiences, what did he say? And well, he used to say, sting like a bee, float like a butterfly. And the other thing he used to say is, I'm the greatest. And I'll have the audience stand up. And you may be listening to this while you're driving or in bed or, you know, someplace where it's not conducive to doing this. But if you can do it, stand up and pound your chest and say, hey, I'm the greatest. And then listen to what goes on inside your head. And I'm guessing when Muhammad Ali said it, for the first time, his mind probably said something like, the greatest what? What are you talking about? And just like ours would. And you got to say that, I'm the greatest. And why do we have trouble with that? Because we're taught to be humble. And again, you know, from the prayers when I was a kid and at Mass and things, it was, you know, that I was a sinner. And we would say the Confiteor, and it would say, through my misgrievous fault. So and we bowed our head, and we hung our head. And we're not taught to stand proud, stand tall, throw your shoulders back, and put your head back and say, I'm good. And that's not being humble. Well, hey, you got to stand up for yourself, and you got to say, hey, I'm good, because I'm the only one in the entire history of creation that's ever been created that was given the gifts that I was given. And I know God doesn't make junk, so therefore I am good. And you look at yourself, and you gotta sell that to yourself, because I can't buy it until you can buy it. Now, if you're going to go and have surgery, are you looking for a surgeon that says, well, you know, I've done a number of knee replacements, and I don't know, 60-70% of them work out pretty good, but, you know, once or twice I replaced the wrong knee, and then several times I had to redo it. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in having that guy. I'm having that guy. I want somebody that thinks that he or she is a great surgeon. And it's the same thing everywhere. I want to go to somebody who believes in themselves, who says, I'm good. So if you haven't done the Muhammad Ali thing and say, I'm the greatest, I would encourage you to do that. Now, this little thing is broken into six parts. And the first part is setting reasonable expectations. And the first item there is to stop trying to be perfect. Ta-dum. Well, that to me is blatantly obvious. However, when I was 39 years old, I was an assistant hospital administrator, and the administrator, whose name was Rick Pierce, came to me and he said, Jim, on your tombstone it's going to be written, he was always right. I went, whoa, is that good or what? And then I realized that wasn't a compliment, that I was being reprimanded, that it's virtually impossible to work with somebody who's, quote-unquote, always right. Or at least I thought I was always right. And that was an enormous amount of pressure. And when I let go of that, and I don't have any problem with saying I was wrong. Our youngest son, Matt, was over for Father's Day, and I don't know what we're talking about, but he said, you know, it reminded me of the saying, dance like you're dancing in the room alone. And for some reason, sometimes when I do the show, I don't do that. And what I want to do when I do the show is to talk to you like you're my best friend. And that you're saying today, as an example, hey, Jim, you know, I'm really struggling accepting myself and loving myself. You know, I raped somebody. I've been an alcoholic. I've been this, I've been that, and the other thing. And that's not who we are. what we do isn't who we are. I met somebody, a couple that I see at Starbucks, her daughter was with yesterday, and I said, tell me about yourself. That's all I asked. That's all I said. Tell me about yourself. And what she did is told me about her education and her credentials and this and that and the other thing. And I just thought it was fascinating. And I understand that when I think of myself, I think of myself as a speaker. I've written 3 books, but I don't think of myself as an author. I'm a life coach, but I don't think of myself as a life coach. I have a radio show, but I don't think of myself as a radio personality. I think of myself as a speaker. And then people say, well, what kind of speaker are you? And I used to say motivational speaker, but now I think of myself and I think, I'm an inspirational humorist. And I'm still learning how to do the radio thing because I can read you as an audience when you're in front of me. But I can't read you on the radio. So what do? I go, well, how can I do it? And I get to the point, now I got to say, okay, I'm going to dance like I'm here alone. And you're on the other end of the phone, and you're talking to me, and your phone is on mute. So I'm going to play with you. I'm going to have a good time. And that's what we're going to do. Now that you always have the option of either calling in, which is at 646-595-2831. But that's only if you're listening to it right now. Afterwards, obviously, you can't call in. So have fun. Have fun with it. Let's talk about it. Let's see how we can enjoy our life to the maximum so that today 200,000 people are going to leave this planet. So if we're sitting here today and saying, hey, today is my last day, and we get the time and I say, well, what do you regret? And what are you going to do is you're going to regret the things you haven't said or haven't done. So I'm going to ask you to take this opportunity. If there's somebody in your life that you need to say something to, say it to him. Say it to her. Don't wait. All of us have heard of people who had somebody they loved die with unsaid words. Now, you can always do it after they die because they don't quote-unquote die. They leave their body. And you can always communicate with them. So this point here is stop trying to be perfect. Stop criticizing yourself for being less than perfect. And remember, not reaching perfection is not a failure. And I define failure as not trying. So what if you change your definition of failure to not trying, and therefore change your definition of success to every time I try? Now, somebody came to Thomas Edison halfway through his 10,000 experiments and said to him, Tom, you're a total failure. He says, what are you talking about? He says, you've failed 5,000 times. He said, no, I haven't. He says, I have discovered 5,000 ways not to invent a light bulb. Now, Thomas Edison conducted 10,000 experiments before he invented the light bulb. So he was 0 for 10,000. And yet none of you consider him a failure. But how many of you consider yourself a failure because you went 0 for 3, 0 for 5, 0 for whatever, and quit? So no, just reject the concept of failure. There is no such thing as failure. You're a baker. You're coming up with a recipe for a cake. And if it doesn't come out right, then you change something in the recipe and you keep doing that until you get it the way you want. So the second thing I'm going to ask you to do is to stop comparing yourself to others. As I said a few minutes ago, everybody on this planet is unique. We each have different gifts, and what we tend to do is compare ourselves to other people, and usually that makes us feel bad about ourselves. We usually compare ourselves to somebody else who can do something that we can't do at all, or we're a novice. We're a novice at it. For example, I don't play any musical instruments. So if you play musical instruments, I'm going, wow, are you good? That's amazing. And you go, well, that's no big deal. Because you think, if I can do it, it's got to be easy. Like, I can get in front of an audience, whether the audience is 100 or 1,000 or 2,000 people, I can get in front of them and have a grand time. And you go, oh, I could never do that. And I'm going, really? I mean, it's just getting up there and having a good time with people. And in the 22 years I've been doing this, that's the biggest gift I've gotten, that I can play with people everywhere in the world. And I do that all the time. I played with a little kid, the three-year-old kid, on the last cruise. His name was Jim, and he would come and slide and stick his right foot out, and I'd put it on top of his, and we would lay on the floor, and we would play, and he didn't speak a word of English. So stop being concerned about how other people think of you, and stop comparing yourself to anybody else. You are unique, so you cannot compare yourself to any other person, because there is nobody else in the whole world that's like you. So stop comparing yourself. Just be yourself. You don't have to compare yourself to be yourself. And I give you permission to be yourself for the rest of your life. And love yourself just the way you are, no matter what goes on in your life. It's got nothing to do with the things that go on in your life. It has nothing to do with what you say or what you do. Forgive yourself for all of that stuff. Let all that go. And say, hey, I came here as an experiment. I came here to learn and to grow. And one of my biggest challenges is to learn how to love myself just the way I am. And then when I can do that, I can love you just the way you are. Did I ever tell you that Rosemary didn't have gas before we got married? Well, we better not go into that. She won't like that. So a way to stop comparing yourself with others is by focusing on your own strength. And there's nothing bad about focusing on your strength. What are your gifts? Get to know and discover what your greatest gift is. And once you get that, like, I know, that's why this show is called Heart-Centered Loving. I can touch people's hearts. And my goal every day, everywhere I go, is to touch somebody's heart. What's your gift? And when I touch your heart, I want you to feel love. I want you to feel humor. I want you to feel accepted. I want you to feel beautiful. That's my gift. And I thank you for listening and for accepting my gift and allowing me the privilege of sharing my gift. What's your gift? Do you share it? Because the gift you have is not the gift I have. And this all works only because we're here with each other. We're here to take care of each other. Share your gifts with us. And a way to do that is by practicing gratitude. Be happy with everything you have. Have a gratitude journal. I heard that on Oprah years ago. Really be grateful for what you have. The people in your life, the job, the relationship, the materials. Gratitude is the key to open your heart to love. And even people who are a thorn in your side or a pain in your ass, they're here to teach you something. What is it? We've talked about this next one many times. Be who you really are. In order to love yourself, you're going to have to stop loving the person you wish you were, okay? And love the person who you actually are instead. Just be the person you are. You don't have to be anything else. Love yourself just the way you are. And if you don't get this, listen to the show over and over and over again, because 99% of you are going to download it. So you're going to either have it on your computer, you're going to have it on your iPhone, you're going to have it on your iPod, your iPad, whatever it is you're going to have it on, you're going to be able to listen to it. Start this baby and then take it with you. And most of these things you can cut and paste, and you can pick the parts out that really resonate with you and say, I got to work on this. I got to be grateful for what I have. So the second part of the six parts is releasing negative feelings. And the first thing they say there is to let go of past events. Well, that's pretty simple. Really, okay? Cherish what you've learned from your challenges and how you have changed and grown from them. We've talked about, I think, there's two topics that are the dominant topics that we speak about on this show. One is love and the other is forgiveness. So it just simply says here, forgive those who have done you wrong. And more importantly, according to this 106 people, forgive yourself. Well, some people think it's harder to forgive themselves than it is to forgive others, and some people think it's harder to forgive others than it is yourself. It doesn't make any difference. But forgiveness is just, you know, you make a choice to stop punishing yourself for something you did in the past. Look at the mistake as a learning experience, because it's going to keep coming to us until we learn, right? And then just say, I forgive myself for... You fill in the blank. And guess what? Even they are saying, go in the mirror and say it out loud. Look yourself right in the eyes and speak this forgiveness from the heart. Speak this forgiveness as if you're a little child. Whenever I see a mom or dad or mom and dad with a child about 2 or 3 years old, I say to them, here's the four gifts that baby gives you. She loves you unconditionally. She forgives and she forgets. She has no concept of failure. And everything she does is an adventure. And then I ask him, so what would your life be like if you could love unconditionally, if you could forgive and you forget, if you had no concept of failure, and if no matter what you did, it was an adventure? And they almost always say it would be marvelous, it would be perfect. Then I ask, well, do we have this upside down? What are we trying to teach them? That everybody's a terrorist, to be afraid of them, to be alone? Are they here to teach us about the beauty of love and self-acceptance? Look at babies. I mean, they love everybody, don't they? They don't care what you look like, do they? So why should you? So the next thing after forgiving yourself is to define yourself by your effort, not your accomplishments. You know, go ahead and celebrate the accomplishments, but let go of the things you haven't done yet. Remember, success is not a destination. Success is making progress. And making progress toward what? The desires of your heart. Not what society tells you success is. That you have this degree, or you have this much money, or you own this house, or you go on these vacations, or you blah, 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 it goes on and on and on. But you got to get that you are not your deeds, you are not your appearance, and you are not your bank balance. I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but in 2001, we went through a bankruptcy. And we had to let go of both of our cars. It was a time where Rosemary had a third check in a month, so I had $2,500 to buy a car. And the guy said, you got to work with me. I said, no, I don't. I got $2,500. You can either sell me the car or not. It was 6 months before we had enough money to go to Pollo Loco to get $8 or $9 chicken dinner. Okay, but do you say, well, gee, Jim's no good. He went through a bankruptcy. I've lost 3 rental properties in a loss or had to sell them in short sales. And I can take you out to the garage and show you at least 2 feet of research that showed that that was a sound investment. Am I a failure? Not to me. So I let it go. I've been fired 4 times on different jobs. Am I a failure? You decide. Or have I learned from it and have grown and gotten to the place where I have the courage to talk to you the way nobody else talks to you and to let you know you're magnificent and you're beautiful just the way you are. You don't need anything else or anybody else to complete you. All you need to do is to believe yourself. You're a human being. Human, being a human is messy. It's stinky. The whole thing. But just be it. So that when we get to the end of our life, we come in and we've worn ourselves out because we've done it all. Be who you are. Have the courage to be who you are. Because what we need in our world are people to stand up and have the guts to be who they are. The next one is to stop saying bad things about yourself, okay? I think I've told you several times before, I went to college with a guy who used to say, it's better to break your arm to pat yourself on the back than it is to break your leg kicking yourself in the ass. So pat yourself on the back. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, wow, you're good. You did this. You did that. Okay? Stop saying bad stuff about yourself. We're all going to make mistakes. Stop bullying yourself. Don't fall into that trap. Stop today. Make yourself a promise and a choice today that I will not beat up on myself anymore. Start saying good things about yourself. Appreciate your efforts, okay? The effort. You got up. You did it. It's the best you could do with the resources you had available at that time. I'll speak to audiences and I'll say, if in the next room here the person you love most in the world was drowning, what could stop you from getting in that pool and trying to save him or her? And people will say, nothing. And I'll say, even that you don't know how to swim? And they'll say, yes. So in that instant, I can prove to you that at least in one instant, you're unstoppable. So what happens is every one of us does the best we can in every situation with the resources we have available to us at the moment. And some moments we have all those resources, and some moments it seems like we don't have any of them. So cut yourself some slack. Say, hey, you did the best you could. What are we talking about here? We're talking about love. We're talking about compassion. And how can we love and how can we have compassion and live in a loving and compassionate world until we can love ourselves and have compassion for ourselves and let ourselves be through and we make these mistakes and we let them go? How do you think of yourself? What would be 5 words that you could write down that describe yourself? Okay, let's see, what can I come up with? I can touch people's hearts. I make people laugh. Needless to say, I'm very outgoing. I'm very outspoken. And I love life. I can have fun with anybody, anywhere. I can play with people. How do you describe yourself? Describe yourself in the way that says who you are. Not what you do. Who are you? I'm here to make a difference. And I believe that what we're here to do is to take care of each other. Okay? I told you I've had 2 surgeries since March. One for deviated septum, and one for a hernia surgery. And Rosemary got Matt to stay with us. I couldn't even get up the stairs. I couldn't get into bed by myself. He took care of me. my son took care of me. That's what we're here to do. We're here to take care of each other. That's why our wedding rings are circular, so that we give love and we receive love. We give it and receive it. And it's a circle, and it's not complete until we are on both sides of the giving and the receiving of love. Your choice. Who are you? How do you describe yourself? So to me, the two things we're here to do is to take care of each other, and two, to heal from the pain of our past. Only you can do that. I can't do that for you. I can say the words, but I don't do any of it. You hear the words, and you've heard the words before, and you go, okay, I'm ready now. Or you'll hear these words, and in 2 or 3 or 4 years or something, you'll say, ah, Shannon, who started this with the Joy Cafe Network, has told me more than once that she'd get an email from somebody saying, that show you did 2 years ago, which the person just listened to then, was just what I needed to hear. So, I'm really behind here, but that's okay. I can talk faster. No, I don't want to talk faster. So the next thing they have here is to embrace the negatives and turn them into positives. Every time we encounter a negative emotion, very few of us can embrace our dark side, and that's what a negative emotion is. Just pause, feel it, thank yourself for feeling it, and accept it. And what these emotions are is internal experiences who contribute to who we are. So if we look at these emotions, or call them negative emotions, as a problem, and see them instead as a problem, as an opportunity, then we have another perspective that can allow us to solve the problem. So, I get mad at my wife all the time. I get impatient with her. I get frustrated with her. We'll be married 47 years, and I still struggle with the fact that she is not wired the way I am. This is a lifelong lesson for me. I know it in my head. But the difference between my head and my emotions are two different things. So I still struggle with that, and I need to listen to the show as if somebody else did it. Okay, part three. Number one, nurture yourself. Ta-da-da-da-da! Nurture yourself, okay? You got to take care of yourself. Nobody has ever died from an overdose of love. Take care of yourself. And to me, the most important time it is to nurture yourself is when you're in a stressful situation. And that's just about the last time that we think about nurturing ourselves. Set up time to be by yourself. Do things that give you peace and love and joy. Nurture yourself physically, whether that's by exercise, the way you eat, well, healthy food. Oh, look at this, like chocolate. And I see studies are saying chocolate is good for us, and I believe in that. Nurture yourself emotionally. What do you want to do? Listen to love songs, paint, help others in need, whatever nurtures you. You got to take care of yourself, okay? Nobody else can take care of you. You got to stop beating up on yourself. You got to stop bullying yourself. You got to stop criticizing yourself. You got to stop judging yourself. And you got to start loving yourself and start nurturing yourself. Give yourself to others and offer help, and you'll get the gift of love back. You'll feel good about yourself because you live your life on purpose. Read your favorite books. Or you can read my books, which would be on my website, which is jimbrownspeaker.com. The first one is, I'm drawing a blank here. A Rose Garden, Living in Concert with Spirit. And then I did a chapter in a book with Jack Canfield, and my chapter was on Life According to Me, which we're talking about today. And this is on Success Principles, the title of the book. And then the last one is Spiritual Breadcrumbs from the Universe. So I'd love if you would read or see one of my books as a favorite book that allow you to nurture yourself and take time to meditate. Just be with yourself. Next thing here that is, treat yourself like you treat your best friend. How do you treat your best friend? You treat him or her with love, with kindness, with trust, with appreciation, with acceptance? Would you talk to your best friend the way you talk to yourself? Treat yourself like you treat your best friend. Say kind words to yourself. Like I said, stop calling yourself names or beating up on yourself. Compliment yourself. We know what our boundaries are. Listen to your needs. Be kind and gentle with yourself. You are not what you say. You are not what you do. And the next thing is to express yourself. You could have a diary, do short stories, whatever you want to do. Painting, music. Self-expression allows us to embrace the best and the worst parts of ourselves, to come to a better understanding of who we are. I keep a journal. I've got, 10, 12 journals. I don't know. They're really goofy because I have them. I have journals that are up to page 760-something, and then one I'm in now is at 480. I don't understand how I number these things. Doesn't matter. But I journal every single day. Write down the good experiences. Allow those things, feel those things. Write down the bad experience. Allow yourself to feel self-compassion. Yeah, it's not self-pity, but it's a willingness to be present with your pain and your regret. Because it's there so that we can learn from it. And when we learn from it, we don't have to deal with it anymore. We're done. Once I've learned how to deal with this, then the next lesson comes up. Now, most of us have experienced chronic emotional invalidation when we were growing up. Now, as adults, we shouldn't be expecting others to be validating us. Now, this is something I'm just getting to the point of, really, I got this. I'd say I have this about 90%, that I stop asking you to validate me. And I've learned to validate myself. We all need to do that, and we've got to have compassion that's going to allow us to be present with our pain so we can acknowledge it and we can let it go. And the last thing in this part is to do what you love to do. Make yourself happy. Find something that you love to do and spend time doing it. That's when you truly connect with who you really are. And then you'll become happier and more loving. And schedule these things like they're a business meeting or a doctor's appointment. Remember that. Taking care of yourself, or having a date with yourself, having a date with your spouse, having a date with your children, your mother, your parent, whoever. Put it on your calendar. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm busy at that time. I've got a meeting. Boom. Part 4, believe in yourself. Never get anxious about anything you set your heart to do. Instead, believe that your efforts will always yield positive results. And the other part in creating love is give yourself a little love note. And I really like this one. Put positive statements up some places where you'll see them every day. Say something like, I'm beautiful, or I have the courage to love, or whatever is important to you, whatever resonates to you. Write the notes of what you love most about yourself. Read them out loud. Because you gotta get this, and till you believe it, because you've got all this negative programming that you gotta get out of there, and you're going to replace it with these wonderful sayings about yourself. Forget about what anybody else taught you. You're right here today, June 17th, 2014, deciding who you are today and who you're going to be for the rest of your life and how that's going to happen. And you say, hey, I got to start with some real positive programming. And I'm going to do that now because I am worthy. I am lovable. I am good. Part 5 is called improving yourself. So you want to practice receiving love. To truly love is to be able to receive it. When somebody loves you, they do kind deeds. Say kind words. They give you gifts or they give you compliments. Embrace it. Allow yourself to feel the love that has come your way. Know that you're worthy of it. It's very important to accept this gift of love by others. You give yourself a chance to learn more about yourself. This guy at the gym, he's got he's got a leaky heart valve, and they did an angiogram, and they put a catheter in his groin, and he needs to change the bandage, and he's 83, and it's in an awkward spot, and he can't do it. And his daughter-in-law said that she'd come and do it for him. He says, well, she's got to come from, and it's 15 miles away. I said, Jerry, just allow her to do this for you. And moms are hardest at learning and understanding this. And nurses are terrible at it, too. They know how to give, but they don't know how to receive. So allow somebody else the joy of giving by loving you. And practice receiving love by saying, I love you, to yourself. Let that love fill your heart. Receive that love that you give to yourself unconditionally. Now, I want you to start practicing saying no. It's okay to say no to people when you don't feel like doing something. Remember, we were taught when we were kids that you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So they ask you to do something and you say yes because you don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, then it just runs you down to empty. So say no when you don't feel like doing something. Don't feel guilty about it. Accept that you have the right to say no. There's different, and this is different from doing things out of love. If you want to do something out of love and your heart wants you to do it, then go ahead. When your heart doesn't want you to do it, and obviously you have to be in touch with your heart in order for you to get this, you feel like you have to please someone. Then you overextend yourself. But when you say no, you know, say it nicely. Thanks for asking. You know, I'm not ready to commit to doing anything right now. And accept you can't please everybody. When you say no, smile sincerely and say no gracefully. The last comment in this section is to be persistent. Work as steadily as you can at loving and accepting yourself just the way you are right now. A large part of love is accepting another as is. This is no different for yourself. Learn to love yourself as you are. We've talked about this most of the hour. And the last section is called loving yourself through others. Treat others with love and respect. Bring joy to other people's lives, and they'll help you find joy in your own life. In addition, those that you treat well are going to treat you well. This is called karma, in my opinion. Create goodwill and thankfulness by practicing random acts of kindness. And then the last one here is to know how to react in a healthy way. An important part of loving yourself is sticking up for yourself. When someone is mean to you, you need to say something and let them know you're not going to stand for that behavior. Basically, this is setting boundaries, and that's what the next show is going to be about, setting boundaries. Nobody teaches us how to set boundaries because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But it's okay for our feelings to get hurt. So real quick here, they close this with tips. And remind yourself that you're worth loving. Remember that you're human because sometimes we feel like outcasts, but that's just something that makes you feel unique. And to be human is imperfect. And again, do what you enjoy. Enjoy. So the closing quote is, The hardest challenge is to be yourself in a world where everyone is trying to make you be somebody else. And that's from E.E. Cummings. Let me say that again. The hardest challenge is to be yourself in a world where everyone is trying to make you be somebody else. We all know that, don't we? And then this last quote is by Eleanor Roosevelt. Remember always that you not only have the right to be an individual, you have an obligation to be an individual. Be the individual that you alone, among the 7 billion of us, can be. There is nobody else that can be the individual that you are. So I have a quick little closing story today. Today I got a phone call from my daughter's kindergarten teacher. She asked me why I wasn't providing lunch for my daughter over the past few days. Confused, I hung up and asked my daughter, "What are you doing with your lunches?" She said, "Katie's mom is in the hospital and hasn't been able to make any meals for the last week. So I gave her a few of my lunches." That's the cute little story. And as I just said a minute ago, our next show is going to be on setting boundaries. I hope you heard in your heart the intent of what happened here today. And the intent of what's happening here today is to help you understand that you can love yourself just the way you are, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter how, no matter what. And I want to send my love from my heart to yours. And I ask you from the bottom of my heart to please receive this love and allow it to fill your heart and your body, your mind and your soul with love so that you can love yourself and reach out and love other people. Remember, there is an infinite supply of love. I love you, and I look forward to us being together again next time when we talk about setting boundaries. Thank you. Bye-bye.